Well, in the words of the rapper Chuck D, we've got to fight the powers that be. Fight the powers. Well, that's not very British, not very Cheltenham, not very Cambrai, and dare I say it, not very Mother's Day. But let's jump straight in. Verse 12, we are in a struggle, a fight. The word unique to Ephesians 6 means a wrestling match. Not choreographed WWE, but Greco-Roman wrestling. A fight to the death. Scared? Well, who are we fighting? Our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Meaning, we are fighting not against other people, or as some asserted in the 20th century, structures such as governments or classes or public opinion or social forces or ideology, but rather we are at war with personal demonic powers. We've already seen in 1:21 and 3:10, evil in the heavenly realm. That is, the spiritual realm. Uncomfortable? Well, we should be. So we have here not four categories of demons, but rather Paul's catch-all phrase for supernatural demonic forces. Verse 11, the devil's schemes, the real public enemy. So what we need is awareness. We can't get careless. You say, what is this? You've got to go for what you know. But God, through Paul, wants to make everybody see in order to fight the powers that be. Because the whole of the Christian life is a spiritual battle. So please don't think of the red-horned, fork-carrying parody of the devil we see in the media plotting deviously in a corner of hell. Hell is the last place the devil wants to go, though that's where he's ending up, reading the book of Revelation as future. But thinking biblically, today, on this earth, supernatural evil is all around us. We are fighting against the devil, tempting us daily, leading us astray, enticing us. As one commentator put it, evil rarely looks evil until it accomplishes its goal. It gains entrance by appearing attractive, desirable, and perfectly legitimate. It is a baited and camouflaged trap. Chapter 4 said, letting the sun go down on our anger is giving the devil a foothold. These are the schemes, the tactics the devil uses in your life. No one can deny they are real. This is what we fight. Well, how do we fight? On our own? No. God, in his grace, gives us everything we need, giving us two key commands in this passage to help us fight the powers. And the first is this: be strong in the Lord. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This finally is not a last paragraph of the letter finally, nor a preacher's finally, meaning I've run out of time, but you're still getting four more points. But rather, it is a finally more like for the remaining time, until Christ comes. Before the earth is renewed and all evil destroyed, we are to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That is, building on Ephesians 3, be strengthened, strengthened with God's Holy Spirit power. not strengthen ourselves at the spiritual gym. We cannot bench press our way to spiritual strength. But the strength comes from an external power source, the Lord Jesus, his mighty strength. I've only been on a speedboat once in my life. It was on a reservoir in South Africa. But it was enough to show me the difference between trying to change course on manual with the strength of my own arms on the wheel and setting the direction on autopilot, using the engine's fuel and navigation to turn the boat around. God doesn't want us to struggle on manual. The strength comes from an external source, his mighty power. Paul probably has in mind, be strong and courageous from Joshua 1, and David finding strength in the Lord, 1 Samuel 30, being strong amidst battle. That's the idea here. And using that language in fighting the powers, God says to you, be strengthened in and through the power of the Lord Jesus, readily available to every believer. So the question for us is, over these last months, well, we've all struggled, haven't we, in different ways. Have you been fighting battles in the Christian life off your own back? If you have been struggling against the devil's pandemic-specific schemes, temptations in a lockdown, how can you plug into the unlimited power source that is the Lord's mighty power? It's there for you. So be strengthened in him. That's the first command given. Setting us up for the second. Stand firm in God's armour. Stand firm in God's armour. Verse 11. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You are a soldier in the army of the Lord. Do you ever think of yourself in those terms? The reformer Martin Luther wrote, Christians must be warriors, not a leisurely existence, nor one of peace and security, rather always on campaign. Perhaps we struggle to understand the metaphor because, let's face it, when was the last time you saw a heavily armed Roman soldier? The Apostle Paul may have been guarded by one as he wrote these words. And I'm sure that the one word that jumped out at you as we read the passage was that one word, stand. Stand. Take your stand. Stand your ground. After everything, to stand. Stand firm then. Fighting the powers is, at the very least, about resisting, holding firm in your life, withstanding the enemy's assault. A simple word, stand, but maybe you're watching this video because God wants you to hear that one word. Maybe it's for you. Stand. Do not retreat. Do not be scared. Stand and fight in God's armour, that difficult situation the devil is trying to use against you. Maybe it's a difficult relationship, an employment situation, financial worries, and the devil is trying to use it to turn you against God. But God says, stand in his armour. Now, the armour list itself is not everything a Roman soldier would have worn, but the important thing to remember is whose it is. Whose it is. Paul seems to have Isaiah 57 and 59 in mind, where the Lord of hosts is a warrior fighting with his own armour to vindicate his people. To put on God's armour then is to put on God himself. Clothe yourself with God. Perhaps someone needs to hear that. In this God armour, we have a belt, breastplate, boots, a shield, helmet and sword. I'm going to spend 60 seconds on each. So the first thing a Roman soldier does when on duty is to put on his belt. The belt of truth, Paul calls it. And then tuck his tunic into his belt, which is where we get the strange expression, to gird up your loins, so you're battle ready. In the early centuries, truth was understood as the truth, the revelation of God through Christ and Scripture. But more recently, because of the context and the rest of the letter, truth has been understood as sincerity and integrity. So start with the belt of God's integrity, keeping us from being deceived and keeping us from deceiving ourselves. And living in truth frees us not from attack by Satan's lies, but from being destroyed by Satan's lies. That's the belt of truth. Next we have the breastplate of righteousness, Isaiah 59 language, covering a neck to below the waist, front and back. It's probable that Paul means, in God, your heart and your intestines, that is, your intellect and your emotions, are protected with God's righteousness, given through Christ, so closely linked to justification here. Our refuge against the devil's attacks is that we are justified by the imparted righteousness of Christ. And knowing that, as the righteousness of Christ is properly worn and experienced, it produces, doesn't it, a righteous life that pleases God. To fight the powers, put on the breastplate. Well, third, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Knee-high leather boots, thick, reinforced, nail-studded sole for grip, agility and for long marches, standing for tip-toe readiness to share the gospel. And so we fight to establish peace. God's peace, reconciling people and situations, and not, paradoxically, fighting to make war. That's our attack against Satan, readiness to share and readiness to reconcile with others. But if we do not walk in the gospel of peace ourselves, then we have nothing to share. We need to get a gospel grip, remembering Romans 16:20. That the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Well, fourth, the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Don't think child's plastic toy, but rather two layers of wood, linen, hide and iron, as tall as a person, interlocking with other shields so that the enemy's meter-long arrows dipped in tar, on fire, travelling at colossal speed, can be extinguished. What arrows does the evil one fire at Christians? Certainly, accusations of conscience, false guilt, thoughts of doubt, disobedience, rebellion, fear. But God himself is a shield to those who take refuge in him. That's what the gift of faith does. It hides us in him, in his confidence, in his protection, laying hold of God's security in times of temptation. What an encouragement that is to us. Fifth, We have the helmet of salvation, usually made from iron, needs an axe to pierce it. God's salvation protecting the believer. The commentator Charles Hodge wrote, "That which adorns and protects the Christian, which enables him to hold up his head with confidence and joy, is the fact that he is saved." And that means that we look back to the cross and trust Christ's saving work there. And that means we look forward to our salvation being perfected when the Lord returns and all is made new. Be confident in your salvation. Wear it, yes, on your sleeve, but moreover, on your head. Finally, not a preacher's finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Not a broad sword, but a short sword for close combat. It can mean the words the Spirit gave believers when dragged before magistrates. Can also mean the written Word of God, the Spirit-inspired Bible, which we can use like Jesus in the wilderness to resist Satan's temptations. And we can also use in personal witnessing. Don't be ashamed to share Scripture with people. That is a wonderful thing you can do for not yet believers when the time is right. Share a verse from God's Word. Well, friends, how do we fight the powers? This passage says to us, be strengthened by the Lord's mighty power, standing firm in the armour of God. Always wear your armour. Pray it on each morning. Like the Israeli Defence Force soldier I met once in the Golan Heights, who called his rifle his wife, sleeping next to her, never letting her out of his sight. Similarly, we must wear God's armour at every moment, always ready for the devil's tricks and temptations. So let's not be naive or complacent. It's the quip from the Second World War. Don't you know there's a war going on? But in the things you're struggling with at the moment, in the things that Satan is using against you, motivation, despair, boredom, difficulties, in those things, be confident. Confident because the victory over evil is already won. Christ has defeated Satan, and all evil will one day be destroyed. But until that final day, the Christian life in this age remains a battle, fighting the powers for which God has strengthened us with the full armour of Himself. Amen.